Well, good morning, everybody. As was mentioned, we are going to continue our study in the book of Daniel this morning. So if you'll head over to Proverbs chapter 13, that'd be a real good place for us to start. It's an incredible thing, this book that you hold in your lap this morning, whether you've got it bound up as paper and whatever, or if you're like me and you keep a digital copy on your phone. However that you're viewing it this morning, it's an incredible thing. It's a living word. It's the very word of God that he's given to us. And the connections in this book give you the idea that it was all written by the same author. When in matter of fact, it was written by many different men over hundreds of years. The commonality of it is they were all led by the Spirit of God. So it does have a single author. And it all goes together so wonderfully. But Proverbs chapter 13, just one particular verse for us, verse number 6. Then we'll ask the Lord to bless our time together. Proverbs 13 and verse 6 reads, "Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked." Our Father, we do thank you again for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to be together, to look into your word. We just pray now as we spend some time considering this incredible story from Daniel chapter 6, that you would bless it. So we look, help, guide, and direct in these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now over to Daniel 6, if you don't mind. While you're turning there, I'll sort of catch us up to speed as to where we're at. Daniel is an old man at this point, somewhere in his 80s. You might remember the last time that we looked into this book, back in chapter 5 of Daniel, the kingdom had fallen. Darius the Mede now sits on the throne. It was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and his father Nabonidus, if I'm even saying that correctly, who were co-heirs at the time. They were reigning together jointly. And Belshazzar thought it would be a good idea to use the vessels that were taken from the house of God when the Israelites were taken into captivity by the Babylonians as part of a party he was throwing. They were having a big party and drinking and having all the things that they really wanted to do, and they went down and they got the vessels, the golden vessels that were used in offering sacrifices to the Lord, thought that would be a really good idea. And while that they were there doing that, a hand appeared and it began to write in the wall. And the writing of the wall told Belshazzar that he had been found wanting and his days were up. And that very night he died. And Darius the Mede now sits on the throne. We read that back in chapter 5 and verse 30. That very night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Papa had mentioned that Daniel was living relatively kind of in retirement almost. You might remember back in chapter 5, while all of this partying was going on and all these things were happening, and that hand appeared, we read that Belshazzar's face changed. All the color left him. To which, as I read it, my first thought was, "You think?" And his knees began to knock together, and he became very afraid. Well, his grandmother, Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, or his mother, excuse me, Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter, our daughter said, "You know, there was a man one time who could interpret things. His name was Daniel." And so they go and they get Daniel. So I kind of got the idea from chapter 5 that Daniel was just sort of enjoying his time. He had done a lot of service to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was just sort of relaxing and enjoying his time and pulled back into service again. Well, Darius takes the throne. What happens with our friend Daniel, some 80 years old now? Well, read Daniel chapter 6 with me together. It's about 28 verses or so, I believe. Yeah, 28 or so. You know the story very well. This is one of those stories that you have heard from Sunday school and vacation Bible school and other places. You've heard this story a lot of times. I'd like for you to think of it as being something new for you this morning, as difficult as that may be in a lot of instances. But just listen to the story. You know, lots of times when we're talking with children and we're doing things with Sunday school classes and vacation Bible schools, there's lots of stuff going on, right? And some of y'all are too young to remember the old flannel graphs. Well, we used to have these little pieces of fabric and these little cutout figures, and they would stick to one another almost like Velcro, but not nearly that strong. And you could just move those things along and tell these stories. And Brother George Vilecki would be drawing things over here on the whiteboard and telling all of these stories. And to be quite honest with you, sometimes that distracts a little bit when you're little people, but you sure do like all the movement, right? So take just a few minutes with me this morning and just listen to Daniel chapter 6, and I promise you, you'll pick up some things in this story that you might not have heard before. So Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1 says that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. And as we get started, let me remind you, I do read from the English Standard Version. So you might see presidents, you might see princes, that sort of thing, where that I'm reading words like satraps and some other words. Verse number 2 continues, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. And listen to this, but they could find no ground or complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes any petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Does that remind you of anything? Does that remind you of chapter 3 of this book, where that some folks gave this idea? Well, Nebuchadnezzar had this idea. He was going to build this great big image, and you had to bow down to that image, and if you didn't, you got cast into a fiery furnace. Seems to be a little bit of a theme going here, doesn't it? So verse 8 continues, "Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document and injunction." When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king." Notice this time they didn't tell him to live forever, did they? They're coming on a mission. "Did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered, and he said, "These things stand fast, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." And they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction which you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Samuel. He labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to him, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried with a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him because he trusted in his God. And the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in my royal dominion people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It's an incredible story, isn't it? As you see, it was really three stories all in one, if you paid attention. We had three main things going on. We had Daniel being faithful to his God. We had these satraps and these other officials who didn't like Daniel plotting his demise. And we had Daniel's friend, King Darius, worried up all night over his friend. So let's go back, take a few points out of it briefly here this morning. So Darius is pleased, it says in verse 1, he's going to set over his kingdom 120 of these satraps. And you might have read, princesses there where I read satraps. And then over those 120, there were three high officials or presidents. And these satraps would have to come and report to them. And we are there introduced to Daniel. Daniel was one of those three that the others were going to have to give an account to. And that's really where our problems begin, isn't it? Daniel was distinguished, we read there in verse number 3. He became distinguished above all the high officials. And notice, it doesn't really talk about the work that Daniel did. It doesn't really talk about the way that Daniel approached the king. It doesn't really talk about the way that Daniel treated other people. It says, because an excellent spirit was in him. He had a calming influence, I like to think, as I read through that. They knew that. They could see that. Let me ask a question this morning, and I'm asking it to myself, and you just have to listen along because there's a lot in Daniel chapter 6 that as I read through it, Paul was like, "Ooh, Paul, you got to be better about this. You got to be better about that." So you'll get to listen to me talk to myself back and forth a little bit this morning. You know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Do people see that the Spirit dwells within you? Scripture teaches us that. The moment that someone accepts the Lord Jesus as their Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells them. And that is an excellent spirit. Do people see that in us? Do we have a testimony in our lives towards others that we belong to the Lord Jesus? Daniel did. There's an excellent spirit in Daniel. They knew where Daniel stood in regards to his God. Did we not read that they knew they wasn't going to get him on the law of the land because one of the ways he honored his God was to follow the law of the land, so they were going to turn it around and try to catch him in the law of his God to get rid of him. He was distinguished above others because of an excellent spirit. I was reminded again of Joseph there in the jail and then Joseph being put in command there in Egypt. And I think that was truly a goal of Daniel, living his life in a way that honored the Lord in all that he did. As a matter of fact, we read there towards the end of verse 4 that King Darius had planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom. They didn't like that a whole lot. People don't particularly like it when an honorable person is put in a position over them. They don't particularly like it when that they go and they're at a job and somebody above them is sort of above board. Because you know what? If your supervisor is above board, guess what your supervisor expects you to be? Above board. They didn't particularly like Daniel for that. So they come up with this plot. Verse 4 tells us that they were seeking ground. They sought ground for a complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. They didn't really want to be accountable to Daniel because they knew Daniel was going to hold them accountable. I was listening just yesterday through the Word, has a nice little app where that you can hear messages on various chapters. And Chris Langtham was talking through Daniel chapter 6 here in this. And he kept over and over and over again bringing up the word integrity, how Daniel was a man of integrity. And these people, they didn't like that. But notice they go around, they're looking for a way to get something against him. And notice what the middle of verse 4 says. But they could find no ground for complaint nor any fault because he was faithful. He was a man of integrity, and no error was found in him. You could open up Daniel's checkbook that he had on behalf of King Darius, and wherever that Daniel said the money was spent, you can be guaranteed and assured that's where the money was spent. Every time the king asked Daniel to do something, you could have been assured that Daniel was going to do that in every regard. He was faithful to the job that he had, and he was integrity was big for him. And notice what they say in verse 5. They say, well, you know what? Obviously, we're not going to find any way to get him in the law of the land. Let's go after the laws of his God. Now, if you can't find a way to catch somebody that you don't like doing anything wrong, and you're in a position of power like these guys are, you probably do what their next step was, right? We're going to make up a law. We'll fix Daniel. We'll make a way for us to catch him. Don't worry about it. So they go in verse 6. They came by agreement together with one another, and they went into the king, and they said, "Oh, King Darius, live forever." The butter is being laid on real thick. They're buttering him up. They're approaching the king. "King, we want you to live forever. You're the greatest that we've ever seen. You're better than Nebuchadnezzar. You're better than Belshazzar. I mean, you defeated Belshazzar. Who could be better than King Darius? You're ruling the world right now. And matter of fact, listen, this is what we'd like to do. You're so great," verse 7 tells us, "that we'd like to have an ordinance that nobody can make a petition to any god, to any man, anywhere, except to you, King Darius, for the next 30 days. Now, ain't that something? They want him to live forever, but how long were they going to give him? 30 days. We'll be your best friend for 30 days, but we want you to live forever. Because, see, it was a plot. They were setting up to try to catch Daniel. And the king's like, it's not a bad idea. I kind of like that. And they said, now, what we'd like to do is we'd like for you to set up this injunction, and we'd like for it to be done according to the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians, when they established something, it could not be changed. It could not be revoked. Do you remember the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar back in chapter 2? Let me remind you of it. You, this is Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, says in chapter 2, "You saw, O king, and behold a great image. And the image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. And the head of this image was fine gold, its chest of arms and silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay." That's verses 31 to 33. And then Daniel gave him the interpretation of that dream. And he said, "You, O king," again speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, "the king of kings, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks into pieces and shatters all things. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. You saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so it will mix with one another in marriage. And they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay." And that is where we are. Darius is that inferior kingdom. He is that silver piece. when we talked about King Nebuchadnezzar back in chapter 1, do you remember back in chapter 1, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel all made this pact with one another that they were not going to eat of the king's table. And the little eunuch was scared out of his mind. He was worried to death because he's thinking, if they don't eat the king's good food, they're going to get skinny, they're not going to be worth anything, and the king is going to be mad at me, and you know what's going to happen. My head is going to be taken off my shoulders. And then in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and Nebuchadnezzar dreams this dream, and he's not telling anybody the dream. He expects the interpretation of it, and you know what the people are? The magicians and the enchanters, they're scared out of their minds because they know if they don't tell Daniel what this, if they don't tell Nebuchadnezzar what this dream meant, guess what? It's going to be off with their heads too. And then here comes this kingdom of the Medes, this second part of the image, this inferior metal of silver to gold. Do you think for a second that King Nebuchadnezzar and what we read about him would have ever made a decree that he could not change? But here's Darius. Darius has made this decree according to the Medes and Persians, which can't be changed. Nebuchadnezzar would have never done anything like that. But here comes this group of people puffing up his heads, and they've all come in this agreement. And you may find this to be interesting. Whenever that I read that they came by agreement, you may be reading in your copy of the Bible that they assembled together. Interestingly enough, it has the meaning, according to what scholars have written and I've read about in Chaldean language, to gather together in a tumultuous throng. They didn't just walk in all pleasing and careful during these meetings. They came together for business. They had a throng of people together. They came to intimidate the king and to make him do and work around the back way so that they could get what they desired. So Darius gives in to this throng. And notice verse 10. Verse 10 says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he did nothing. No. He went to his house and hid. No. He left Babylon. No. He went to his house where he had his upper chamber and the windows open towards Jerusalem. He got on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to his God as he had done previously. He didn't need 30 days to go against that law. He needed probably 30 minutes. He knew it was signed, and he went right back to what he had always done. He went right back to honoring his God. And why wouldn't he? Do you know what we've seen in this book? Do you remember the things that we've looked at in this book and how God has so carefully protected and rewarded not only Daniel but his 3 friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Why would he not? Why would he not do anything but go back and pray and give thanks to his God? Well, guess what? Verse number 11, they came by agreement, this group of people, out making trouble, and they went by Daniel's house. No doubt they were just scrolling through on their way down to the Italian restaurant, right? They didn't really mean to go that way for anything. They're just on the way down to get a bite to eat. No, of course not. They knew exactly where Daniel was going. They knew exactly what they would find Daniel doing. And they came and they saw it. And look at verse 12. They go right back to King Darius. And as we noted, and we read through the chapter in verse... In verse number 6, when they want something from the king to get this all situated, they butter him up real quick. Oh, King Darius, live forever. Now they've got their man. They've done what they wanted to do. They've got their man, and notice they don't do that this time. Verse 12 says, they came near and said to the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? We weren't worried about King Darius at this point. They had accomplished their mission. They had set a trap. They had baited the trap. And Daniel had fallen right into it. Daniel did not, at this time in his life, hear these words spoken. But Daniel knew this. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Daniel went to his room. They saw that. He prayed to his God. We'll see at the end of this chapter that God rewarded Daniel very much in a public manner. He got down on his knees, he prayed, and he gave thanks. And then we pick up with this persecution of them. They've gone to the king, and notice what they said down here in verse number 13. Daniel, who is one of the exiles, they wanted to point him out. They wanted to make sure the king understood exactly who they were talking about. Not any other Daniel, but Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah. Verse 13 tells us, he pays no attention to you. He doesn't care that you signed an injunction. He doesn't care that it's according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. He makes his petition 3 times a day. Darius was now upset. You might remember back over in verse 4 of this chapter that the king had planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom. I think the king was a friend of Daniel's. And he becomes upset that his friend has been caught in this trap by these wicked people. And notice what it says. It says, he was distressed and he set his mind to deliver Daniel. He's thinking all that he can do. He labored until the sun went down, trying to come up with a way to rescue Daniel. And here come these guys again. Yet another time, they came to him and said, "Know, O king." They didn't have their customary greeting anymore, did they? It was, "O king, live forever." Then it was, "O king." And now it's like, "Hey, buddy, remember this?" You see how they're creeping in there on that king? "Know, O king, that it's the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance can be changed, not even by the king." So Darius is... his hands are tied. And notice what he does. He gives a command in verse 16, and Daniel was cast into the den of lions. And listen to what Darius has to say. "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." They brought a stone. They laid it on the mouth of the den. The king sealed up the stone with his own signet, the signet of his lords, that nothing could be changed concerning Daniel. Do you remember another stone that was rolled into a particular place? When the Lord Jesus died, some people came to old Pilate and said, let us bury the body. It's okay. Then some other people came and said, we need to guard that tomb where they buried that body. Because what they're going to do is they're going to come get that body, because he's been talking about raising himself from the dead. They're going to come get that body and take it away, and they're going to tell everybody this great big story. We need to stop that. So they roll this great big stone in place, and they put a couple of Roman guards there to watch it through the night so that they couldn't get in there, so they couldn't do it. Same thing here for Daniel. They roll this great big stone right over the lid of this den of lions, and they seal it up so that nothing could be changed, and it couldn't be moved. And then Darius, verse number 18, tells us that he went back, and he spent the whole night fasting. No diversions were brought to him. No instruments of music were brought in to calm his spirit. We see that with King David from time to time, right? If David had a spirit about him that was up and he was nervous or he was worried or he was concerned, and bring in some musical instruments to calm him down. Well, Darius didn't accept any of that night either. He stayed up all night fasting, and sleep fled from him. And in the morning, at the break of day, verse 19 tells us, he wasted no time whatsoever. He runs. He went in haste to the den of lions, and when he got there, notice how he addressed Daniel. "O Daniel..." And notice what he says about Daniel's God, "servant of the living God." When Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den, Darius said, "May the God whom you serve continuously protect you." The next morning when he gets up, "Daniel, you servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continuously been able to deliver you from the lions?" And Daniel responds. Can you imagine the weight that dropped off of Darius' shoulders when that voice came back out of that den? The weight that was just gone and lifted from him. Daniel said, "O king, live forever." Now, he wasn't trying to butter the king up like the satraps were. He was speaking in reverence to his king and replying to his friend, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth." Years ago, Prescott was a little bitty fellow. I mean, a little bitty guy. And we were living at our first house up in Pine Level. So he couldn't have been more than four, because we've been in our current home for 12 years now, and he's 16. He's under 4 years old. Well, Rebecca was there at the house, and I was in the back room of the house, and I heard Rebecca and Prescott talking. And the only thing that I heard was, "Shut your mouth," come out of that little four-year-old's voice. And I come out of the back of that house like I was on roller skates, and I was just about ready to snatch him up and beat the brakes off that little boy because he had told his Aunt Becca to shut her mouth. And Rebecca's dying laughing, and she stops me because they had been talking about the story of Daniel. And that's the way she was relaying the story to a little fellow, that God told that lion, "Shut your mouth." And for the whole night, that's exactly what those lions did. They shut their mouths. Now, I really don't even like little cats, much less these big jokers that can eat you. So there Daniel sits all night long. I believe not a sound was made the whole night. And notice who was with him. There was an angel that was sent. And that angel shut the mouths of the lions. And Daniel says, "They have harmed me not." And you know why? The same reason that them satraps knew that they couldn't catch Daniel in the wrong. Because Daniel says, "I was found blameless before him," speaking of God. And he said, and also, "Hey, guess what, king? I've done you no harm either. I was found blameless before my God. I've always done what was expected of me in your kingdom. My God has protected me all night long." So they take Daniel up out of that den. They look him over real good. There was no harm found in him, if you'll notice at the end of verse 23, because he had trusted in his God. And then we go back to the second group of players in our story. All of these that had come in that tumultuous throng to approach the king these three times, buttering him up, reminding him of what he'd done, and then demanding that he throw Daniel into that lion's den. Well, he takes them. He takes their wives, and he takes their children, and they're cast into the den of lions. Do you know what a den of lions is after an entire night when they didn't get to open their mouths? They're hungry. Bible says they didn't even hit the bottom of the pit, and the lions had devoured them and broken their bones into pieces. And King Darius makes this decree at the end of our chapter here, at the end of it, makes this decree. And notice what he says about the God of Daniel. He is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. And we remember back at chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus is that great mountain that comes and strikes the kingdoms of the earth and sets up his own kingdom. His dominion shall be to the end, and there is no end. Eternity has no beginning. It has no ending. Notice what Daniel's God does in verse 27. He delivers, he rescues, he works signs and wonders not only in heaven, but also in earth. And he saved Daniel from the power of the lions. This Daniel had much success, verse number 28 tells us, during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So what, right? That's a fantastic story. And you've heard it a lot of times. What can we take away from it here today? Well, first of all, here's Daniel, as we've mentioned, somewhere in his 80s, still doing what he does. Daniel had been in captivity in the land of Babylon for nearly 70 years. Remember, he was a teenager when he got there. He's in his 80s now. He's been in captivity in the land of Babylon for nearly 70 years. There were more gods in the land of Babylon, and I speak of a little g god, than you could shake a stick at. And he never went chasing after any of them. He stayed true. He stayed faithful to his God, the God of Israel, the living God. Integrity was not lacking in Daniel's life. And they take this 80-something-year-old man, they throw him into a den of lions and shut the door. He did not stop serving his God at any point in any of that. As we've looked, we have seen two kings. We have seen two kingdoms. Three kings, two kingdoms. We've seen Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Three if you count his dad, Nabonidus, as co-rulers, right? But we've seen two separate kingdoms so far. We've seen the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Now we've seen Darius the Mede. At the end of chapter 6, we also have this mention of Cyrus the Persian. That's three kingdoms. You know what was consistent in all three of them? Our old buddy Daniel. And Daniel was consistent in serving his God throughout those things. All of this to me speaks that kingdoms will pass away. And I think that's a little picture that Daniel gives us of the Lord Jesus. Kings and kingdoms come and go all over. Not so with the Lord Jesus. He is the King forever and forever. Faith in Him brings salvation, just like Daniel's faithfulness brought him salvation from the lions that day. Well, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior this morning, over in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much." If we go back to chapter 1, remember chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, those are historical chapters. The rest of this book is all prophetic, and I can't wait to get to that because that's my favorite part of the whole book. But the first chapters are all historical. Do you remember how chapter 1 started? With a little thing. We'll eat our vegetables, thank you very much. And look at what Daniel has seen, because he was faithful in that little bit. To you and to me, it may not seem like that big of a deal, right? Sure, I'll take a king's steak. I got no problem with that. But to Daniel, it was. Daniel said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'll be faithful to my God over a meal, over such a small thing. I'm going to be faithful to Him." And look how Daniel has blessed God throughout this entire book. He's gone through three kingdoms, and Daniel has remained faithful in a little thing, has led to bigger things. Now, I am certainly by no stretch of the imagination talking about a prosperity gospel. Daniel didn't prosper in worldly things. I mean, for goodness sakes, his buddies were thrown into a fiery furnace and he was tossed into a den of lions. That's not very prosperous, is it? No. But he was faithful to his God, and his God was faithful to him and protected him. And you know the greatest reward that Daniel received? Chapter 7 through 12 of this book. Daniel got a glimpse at what the Lord has in store for this old world. He got to be able to reveal, or he got to see some prophetic things that are coming up for us here very shortly. And that's what we'll look at next time. We'll start in Daniel chapter 7, this vision of the four beasts. We'll go back actually to the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, when Daniel received that vision. So we'll always ask the question, what have you done with the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus has told us, believe, 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 and you will be saved. Paul wrote that over in Acts to the Philippian jailers. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Faithfulness to Him brings salvation. Have you accepted Him as your own Savior? And if not, today is the day. Father, we do thank you for this little book. We thank you again for these stories of Daniel, the miraculous protection and provision that you've made for your servant, Father, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the lessons that we can learn from it. Just pray now that you dismiss us with your blessing. Watch over us through our day. Pray you bring us together again within your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.